In Genesis 31:21, Jacob fled from Laban, his father-in-law. He headed for, set his face toward, the hill country of Gilead. The key phrase is, he set his face, meaning with all power he was determined to go to Gilead. In John 4, my paraphrase here, Jesus set his face to go to Samaria. He was determined to do what was in front of him to do. In 2 Kings 12:17, King Hazael turned to attack or set his face toward Jerusalem. Numbers 24, verse 1, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to sorcery as at other times, but set his face toward the wilderness. In Daniel 9:3, the prophet Daniel reports, I turned my face to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Meaning he went before the Lord with all his breathing, thinking, and feeling to plead the case of his people. The following may be a bit adventurous to bring into this forum because the concept may simply be too large to do it justice, but I'm going to present it anyway for the reason of giving us all an idea that the face of God comes with more than looking into the eyes of God Himself. Okay, so here goes. In the New Testament, presence of God, as used in 1 Corinthians 1:29, is a Greek word, enopion, which is made up of two words, en, en, and a derivative of the Greek word, optanomai. Now, the second word is where it gets interesting. Optanomai, which is from the primary word, optomai, which is where we get our English word for optometry and its variations thereof, implies a seeing and alternates with the word horao, which is to stare at or discern clearly. And then there is an easily followed trail that leads through degrees of seeing and a visionary type experience, which I think to be quite a revelation. There is a passive seeing, like knowing the floor is under your feet. Nothing of special note, but we are aware it is there. There is an active seeing, like purposefully looking at something. And then there is the idea of looking at something with eyes wide open in amazement. Do the footwork. Don't take my word for it. Go look for yourself. In fact, let me encourage you to try and not take someone's doctrinal views at face value, even if they are a valuable, reliable resource. You do the work. And you go look for yourself to see what Scripture says. It's not like we don't have a plethora of information to draw from. God is knowable and findable if we'll go look for Him. If the Hebrew perspective of the presence of God is an encounter with the face, and the New Testament phrase, presence of God, reveals a visionary experience when we encounter His face, then I think we can add the two together to show that with an encounter with the face of God, there also comes a seeing where we see Him, He sees us, and we get a spiritual seeing imparted to us by being brave to look into God's face. This is like saying, if His presence is always with me, then I am also having His seeing playing in me like a video. The problem is I've also got a mix of worldly vision playing in me, and as a result of a life of being lost in the dazzle. What God vision I've got in my head and heart is often mingled with the world vision. So I, all too often, intend to throw the baby out with the bathwater, discarding my spiritual vision in an attempt to dislodge the worldly images. Rather than set a path to divest myself of the dazzling worldview constantly presented to me, I simply disregard it all. Let us abandon our input of worldly vision to sanctify our God vision that we would walk more circumspectly in the world we live in. I can't help but think understanding this a little is another key to prophetic seeing. Jesus carried the promise of Isaiah 50 verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Jesus opened his face to us that we would open our face to the world. As I awoke the other morning, I was thinking of all the refugees coming to this country. In the gray place between awake and asleep, the Lord spoke to me saying, "Let them in." At first, I thought to stop resisting the influx of people into this country. But as the days followed, his meaning was not about them, but about me. Let them in, meaning that I should stop hiding my face from the world. Let them see my fallibleness, and they will also see all the restoration and redemption in me too. It's not to fear others will see my failures, but for glory of the love of God in my heart. The Lord promised us in Ezekiel 39:29 that from now on he would no longer hide his face from us, making himself unfindable and unknowable, that he would make himself open and disclosing. Then the Son of God came and gave man the face of God for the first time in history. He is not hidden any longer, and we should not hide our faces from the world either. Friends, and I do mean friends, brothers and sisters of the cloth, let us be brave to deal with our hidden, secret things, bring them into submission and obedience to the Word of God, resolving those scary things of ourselves, and let our light shine. Psalm 34, verse 5. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. God gave us His presence, the face, and it has changed us forever. Think about it.